What's going on, everyone? Rookie and the Vet podcast is live. David, we've got a guest today.
Yeah, Nick, we sure do. Our guest today is Dylan Carter, and Dylan is an entrepreneur in the space of Amazon, also a business owner, and he's a podcaster himself as well. So we could probably learn a few things from him during this podcast today. But he's a super hard worker, great guy. I think people are going to learn a lot from our conversation with him today. And Dylan, I probably really did a terrible intro of you, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you for a little bit, and then you can just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's cool. So I come from, like you said, the Amazon space. So I initially got started as like an Amazon third-party seller, which thousands upon thousands of people get started to do.
Wow, yeah.
And something we'll talk about in a bit is I transitioned into another opportunity in the same space, right? And so I basically parlayed being an Amazon third-party seller into SaaS. So that's just software as a service. So got into software. And now we're focused on scaling that out, wrapping up my last two semesters as a finance major at the same time.
So you're busy.
Slightly busy. yeah, somehow I'll have a girlfriend. No idea how, but still there. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what I actually wanted. And something that, you know, we should definitely talk about is this concept where a lot of new entrepreneurs get stuck in this idea of making money. And not getting past that, right? So like you got to realize and make the transition that like you can't focus too much on just how do I make money in the next 3 months. It's got to translate into like how am I providing value to people's lives, right? Because money's like a lagging indicator.
Yeah, and a lot of people that are, you know, that our listeners know that Nick and I are both in the event space, and I don't think it. I think it should not be overlooked that actually you kind of came into the event space a little bit early on. And that kind of goes to your conversation about, you know, looking at different avenues and, you know, finding what works right for you and what makes the most sense for your own personality.
Dylan, one of the great points that you just made was bring value to people's lives. I think so many people get so, especially me, I mean, in my own experience, I've gotten caught up in like making money because you obviously need money to survive. But one of the big things that you need is how am I going to bring value to somebody's life? And value to someone's life is so much more important than money.
Well, and two, it's also bringing value to your own life, right? So, Yeah. You know, we always talk about how it's easy to go get a job and work that 9-to-5 life and dreading getting in traffic and dreading having to get up early in the morning and dreading all of the things, but you're doing it because you need to make money. And I know people can't see me, but I'm making air quotes right now. Like you need to make money. So sometimes that quality of life or that bringing something to yourself, you got to remember that too, right?
Yeah. And I think it's a hard balance, right? Because at a certain point, especially in the early days, you're sacrificing. I mean, that's part of it, right?
Absolutely.
And so everybody wants the outcome of being an entrepreneur, right? Yeah. Because it's sexy, it's Instagram, whatever. But the reality is you trade, and this is for most people, you trade working 40 hours a week, making 70 grand a year to work 80 to make minimum wage.
Dude, such a good point. Like the absolute truth. Like you work around the clock, but yep. It's for yourself.
100%. You know what I mean? And it's not easy to do, right? Because you can work all the time, you end up working all the time.
And I know we've talked about this before, like a lot of times what young people or what, you know, people maybe fresh out of college or maybe they're still in high school and they're looking like, what's the next step in my life? What's the next journey in my life? And unfortunately, you know, as we've said before, the internet is a great thing for information and resources and so forth, but can also be a very deceiving thing from the standpoint of a lot of times what you see on the internet is like the last 3% of that person's journey, and that whole 97%, you don't necessarily always see that because that's not, as you said earlier, that's not the sexy part. That's not the cool part, you know, that everybody wants to really, you know, who wants to sit down and watch all the struggles of somebody? I know I would, because I think that's what I would really grow from.
And
but
I mean, that's kind of why we're so into Gary Vee, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
And you see all these Instagram pages like billionaire lifestyle, you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff. And it's like, oh, entrepreneur, business exclusive, like super rich, flexing all this stuff. And it's like, what about the work? You know what I mean?
Well, so let me touch on that. So I've failed for like the last 10 years, like period, like end of discussion. Like I know it's subjective, but like I have. But what I think I've done well and what has led me to in my opinion, beginning to succeed now, is actually utilizing and executing on the things that people like Gary Vee say, right? Like when Gary Vee says, eat shit for 3 to 5 years, go eat shit for 3 to 5 years. Like go actually do it, right? And it's not sexy. The other night there was a big party and guess who didn't go? Me.
Right.
Because I was working.
Yep.
Or just recovering, right? So I could be ready for the next day. Yeah. And so a lot of people think I'm very OCD, but it's because I know, and this comes back to like the providing value to people's lives, right? When you're so committed to making somebody else's life better, like you show up differently because you have to. There's no other option. And David, me and you talked about this the other night, and I wanted to bring it up, is I still think I'm selfish, but it's the context that matters when I say I'm selfish. So I focus a lot more, and this is something that I don't know why it took me so long to understand or even hear, is I focus so much more on the long-term value, right? So I'm maximizing the long-term value of a customer.
Right.
So what too many people do, and I'll give an example that me and you talked about the other night, too many people focus on the upfront transaction. How do I maximize that? That doesn't matter.
True.
So if you, so as an example, we're in SaaS, that's a subscription-based service, right? It just stands for software as a service. So it's just a subscription-based access to service, right?
Gotcha.
So here's the thing. Here's two examples. One, I'm traditionally selfish in. This is going to be the first one. A user or a potential user comes to me and says, hey, I'm interested. Do you think it's a good fit for me right now? If I don't think it is, and I tell them, you know what? It's probably not, but like you should still sign up because I want that money up front, right?
Right.
And then they sign up. They last for 2 months, and then they churn. Basically, they just stop paying us. I made however much I get paid per month times two. Not a whole lot. But what happens in the second situation where I'm the new kind of selfish, if you will, and I say, you know what, now's not a good time for you, but why don't you come back when your business is at X value, right? It might be revenue, it might be number of SKUs, because we're like in the e-commerce space.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, okay, cool. Well, one, I was just transparent. I was honest, so they trust me now.
Yeah.
And when they come back in 4, 5, 6 months, and then they stay with me for 3 years, which one did I just win?
Right.
And so if you can align the value and the outcome that a user wants or your customer or client wants with what you want, it gets easy. That's the crazy part here. You can be selfish and get what you want, but you got to understand what you get is a lagging indicator of the value you've provided, period.
Well, we can almost call that being selflessly selfish.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Right.
Like
yeah.
That's pretty crazy. We can actually almost call it that.
That's the funny part. And again, when you're not focusing on the money you need right now, and I get that. We all go through that.
Yeah.
But again, that's part of sacrifice. When you're not focused on what am I going to get in the next 3 months, and instead you're playing the long-term game, what do I get in the next 3 to 5 years, you make better decisions. I don't care what business model you're in.
Well, and I think that's the big thing about why we're so, all three of us are so gravitated to Gary Vee, because we have all kind of either have lived or are living that eat dog shit, as you mentioned sure. earlier, lifestyle of understanding. Like you can be, and we say this all the time, you could be the greatest at whatever product or service you're providing. You could be greatest in the world. But if you don't understand the business and if you don't have the resources to really do that, and if you don't have like a plan B or like a, hey, I'm going to do this until this, then there's always going to be that frustrating, nagging barrier of, pecking away at your head, like maybe this isn't the right thing. Maybe this isn't the right thing.
Right.
And then one of your friends is going to tell you, hey, man, maybe you need to think about something else. And then your mom's going to tell you, hey, man, this is probably not good for you. Maybe you should do something else. Like, all of that starts setting in. And then all of the things that you really felt like, you really, really wanted to do start diminishing. And it's like it starts off at like a 10 and then it starts going down to a 6 and then a 5 sure. and then a 3 and then
a
2.
I think that's a newbie thing because I found myself doing that. And again, that's focusing too much on what do I get out of the situation, right? So what a lot of people do in this whole like shiny object syndrome when it comes to entrepreneurs, that's not like entrepreneurs that are actually like taking action, right? And building real companies. It's the people that call themselves entrepreneurs that, and granted, again, me talking to myself here, where we spend so much time focusing on like what's the most profitable business model. The business model doesn't matter. What problem are you solving? The business model is a function of how you most effectively solve that problem. It might be software, it might be service, it might be a physical product. But what you have to focus on is what is the problem that I am trying to solve, because that in and of itself aligns the value of an end consumer with what you want.
You guys are listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Man, we have just barely scratched the surface of today's podcast. I think we're going to have a lot of valuable content. Dylan has a lot of great ideas and suggestions for you guys. We're going to be right back after this message. Thank you again for listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast.
We are back with the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Dylan was talking about transitioning from one business model to another.
So what's interesting is whenever you get deep into one industry, you realize how much opportunity is actually there. And then you start to realize something that I view as a universal truth. Like the world is really like a menu of options. You just need to one, clarify what you want, and then choose, right? And that doesn't like diminish the work because it's still hard to do. I knew that I'd always wanted to go into tech, right? Because to me, it's the most scalable thing. Like, I'm such a dork. Like, anything that I can automate, I'm going to do it. Anything that I can scale, I'm going to do it. Like, I like these efficiencies within businesses. Like, there's a lot of businesses that I really just don't like.
So, do you want to define what scale means?
Sure. So, I'll give you some examples. When I ran the physical products business, I was, you know, selling units, right? And so what I did was wholesale. And so I would have direct wholesale accounts with brands, and then I would sell directly to consumers on Amazon.com. And so when I say scale, there's a few ways you can structure the operations of a physical products business. I had two choices. I could have had my own warehouse, which was, you know, it's a fixed cost, but getting started, that fixed cost is not really ideal. You want more so like a variable cost. So it's just everything scales up and down with you really well, right? So you're not locking yourself into a lot of expenses early on. The issue with that, though, is I don't think it makes sense early on because you need a critical mass for it to make sense. And think about it. Like, the question I kept asking was, how can I process and sell 10,000 units a month just as easily as I can 100?
Okay.
When you have the operation structured in a way that, yes, it's going to take somebody else's time to process the extra, you know, 9,000, whatever, that's okay because it's not affecting my time. So I like the idea of being able to run a seven-figure business with not that many employees.
Right.
And not because like I want to work 120 hours a week. It's because we're being so efficient. And that's really cool. So to me, that's scale, right? Like, how do we do whatever? So as an example, let's take it back to like the events industry. How can you do 1,000 events just as easily as you could 100 events?
Yeah.
You're asking tough questions, but you're getting great answers. And so I've always wanted, and this is why I got into physical products at first. I was trying to find my business model, right? And this is what we were talking about earlier, is like chasing money.
Yeah.
And then I got into something I really enjoyed, which was physical products and Amazon. I got into the industry, and then oddly enough, and this is something so undervalued, I DM'd on Instagram my now co-founder, James, because his company, he was doing wholesale too. He was at seven figures. I was at six. I said, hey, man, can I pay you for an hour of your time on Skype? I'm just trying to scale this thing. I could use some help. He said, yeah, dude, don't worry about it. Don't pay me. Like, let's just hang out. And we kind of became friends after that and started meeting up frequently. And I found out he was a full stack engineer at University of Massachusetts.
Wow.
Like, so very smart dude, right?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Realistically, anybody from Boston area is really smart, in my opinion. Well, so that's just me.
So he's in Amherst, but still, like, top school, right? Like, insane. And so we started working on software together. And I'm not an engineer. I'm not a developer, right? And so what we realized, and something I never understood, was the fact that I tried to do everything by myself. But when you can partner with somebody, go ahead.
Efficiency is key.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I'm noticing that. That's actually one of the breakthroughs I had this week, was like listening to people talk about efficiency and how you need to be able to kind of let go of some of the responsibility of doing everything.
And I think tied in with efficiency is a point that you were kind of making there, and I think is worth expanding on, is the idea of partnership and the idea of it's not always necessarily like you're forming this formal business partnership with somebody that locks you into what could be issues down the road, but you find ways to partner with it. I mean, kind of like, honestly, kind of like with what we're doing with this podcast.
Absolutely.
And what we're doing between my business and Nick's businesses. He owns his own business. I own my own business, but we get together to make things happen. But neither one of us really have to worry about, you know, there's always that potential bad side of a partnership, you know? And so you have the ways of avoiding that. So I think going into that a little bit more is definitely worthy of doing so.
Yeah. And, you know, I got lucky. I'm very transparent about, like, me and James, one, the amount of people that I talk to that I say, hey, just reach out to that person you've always wanted to talk to, and they refuse to do it. They don't understand how much opportunity is potentially on the other side of that. And so, one, I got lucky. Me and James have complementary skill sets that work well together. Here's my issue, and I talk a lot about this in the Amazon space, because it's very much me by myself. I don't want anybody else in my company. And it's people trying to leave their jobs, right? Like, you're not really trying to build a full business. Some are, but you're really just trying to replace your income. Different decisions, right? Yeah. I say this all the time, play chess, not checkers. When you're playing checkers, you're thinking very short term. You're not thinking holistically. You really got to shift from the micro stuff to the macro stuff. What I mean by that is a lot of people want 100% of that size pie. But what they don't realize, if they partner with the right person, the size of the pie increases. And by default, your slice that you went from, let's say, 100% to 50% is still worth more than the entire pie that you had before.
Such a good point.
You got to consider that, right? And so this is why and this is going to be kind of dorky, but I like mental models, because it helps you think this way, right? And so it helps you put things into perspective and have a different basis for your thoughts and decisions. That's how you make good decisions. It doesn't have to be difficult, right? And so the simple fact is, I would not have been able to start this company by myself. Wasn't going to happen. I tried. Not this exact one, but software, I tried. Yeah. James, I think he would still do very well because he could build the product. But he doesn't like being public facing, right?
Yeah, no, and that's a really, really good point. I mean, there's a company in the entertainment space that I know of that's exactly like that. You know, the owner of the company is super techie, super smart. Like, he knows all of the intricate little transistors and all these little, and I've talked to him before, and 2 minutes into the conversation, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? But he's all geeked out and excited about it. And you feel like he's going to blow a gasket at any moment talking about that. Just like we are passionate about the things that we're aware of, right? But he never really accelerated within our industry because he was like a business to business, right? So he was providing a product that other businesses in our space could utilize in order to generate income. And he just could not get over that hump until he got a person who partnered with him per se, and was able to speak the language that we all in the event space understood, the language that this guy was speaking. And we're like, okay, now I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Great product. All of us really thought it was a cool product, but we didn't really want to hear all the ins and outs and how it was built and what company it came from and all that stuff. Like, just how the hell can it make me money? Really, that's all I give a damn about, right?
Yeah. And you need to be able to make that translation, right? And so I think a lot of this does come down to ego, because I'm the founder, I'm the CEO, the stuff we joke around about, right? Like it doesn't matter. And the simple fact is, you can call yourself a CEO, a founder, all this stuff, but if you're not providing revenue for a business, it's irrelevant. But the simple, and here's something that I want to talk a lot about, or not a lot, but just in depth about, is I don't think it has to be difficult. And what I mean by that is, at any point in time in your business, there's a single lever of growth that if you pull will have the biggest impact on everything, okay? For a lot of people right now, it might be getting a business partner. It might be hiring. It might be raising money. It might be doubling down on the things that are doing really well and cutting out the stuff that's not doing well. But if you can focus on that singular task, you gain clarity. And this whole it's pure chaos, I don't know what to do. No, you just ask the right questions and you can figure those things out. And if you do that, enough times back to back, you realize we built something massive here. I don't know how, but it really wasn't that hard. It's still a lot of work, but I'm not running around with my head cut off here.
Sure.
And it took a long time to get there. And I kind of had to take a lot of those past failures into this and say, okay, clearly I had no clue what I was doing before. Let me set my ego aside, make the assumption that I know nothing. And I think this is super helpful. You know nothing, period. I don't care how successful you are. You know nothing. Like, yes. Beat that into your head. But then because you're in that mindset, you can then go and learn how to accomplish the things you want to.
To address your know nothing comment, like I really love that because, you know, even myself in my space, I've been in the event industry for 20 years. And, you know, I've talked about this probably longer than 20 years, actually. And I've talked about this before in probably a previous podcast. Like, I'm planning on going to a conference in the next couple of months. And that is exactly what I said to myself. When I go to this conference, I know nothing. I'm going with a blank slate. Like, my mindset is I want to walk into this conference like I have never done this before. Yep. And how much can I gain from this? Because if I can walk into that with no preconceived notions, with no pre-experience, no anything, just I'm a baby. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to be alive.
Socrates said it, man. The only thing I know is that I know nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And how amazing is that, though?
It's crazy. It's the basis that I started NAS Visuals off of.
Yeah.
Was that I know nothing, and I'm a blank slate to everyone that I meet,
but
everywhere I go.
How freeing is that?
It's liberating.
A lot of people think, for me to start a company, I have to be the expert. You don't.
Right.
You just need to know a little bit more than the consumer.
Yeah.
And then what can happen is you spend enough time, and what's great about running a business, it affords you the opportunity to have the time and the resources to further that knowledge.
And it takes the barrier down.
Yes.
That I can't learn from anybody else. You know, I can only learn. I have all the knowledge. I'm this omniscient being. It's like, no, like you, I promise you can learn something from every single experience with somebody.
Yeah. And here's something I want to talk about that doesn't get spoken a lot. It is something I learned in the past like 2 years, especially in like my Amazon space, but like, I think it's a universal issue because I felt it regardless of the business model that I attempted. And you're always, and this is why a lot of people go from like course to course to course. And they're like, I spent like $100,000 and I still don't have a business. What's going on? You're always looking for the last piece of the puzzle, right? And so you're like, I just don't know enough yet to get started. I don't have this yet. And so if you can realize the last piece of the puzzle you've been looking for, whether you're kind of getting started, but you're not full in, or you're just like, I'm waiting for something, the last piece of the puzzle is experience. You're not going to gain that from a course.
Yeah.
You're just, and I like courses, but you're not. You're going to realize a year in of you actually executing, and that's what matters the most. I didn't need anything else. What I actually needed was to get started.
Just get off your ass and do it.
Take it seriously, right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Are you playing business or doing business? Playing business is sexy. I got a new website. I've got business cards. I put CEO on my Instagram bio. You know what's unsexy? Doing what I'm doing today, which is answering a ton of support tickets. And guess what? It's not the funnest thing in the world because sometimes it's very stressful. I also have to do a financial modeling thing today too. But you know what drives revenue? Great customer support. Amazing product, adding value.
Yeah.
That's the hard stuff, but it's not.
You're listening to the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Stay tuned next week for part 2 of this exciting podcast.